Let's look at this together tonight. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Let's also look over here at the book of Matthew 12:37. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And let's look at one more over here. Proverbs 21:23. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from trouble. Amen. So with those things in mind, tonight's title of the message, it's time to tame your tongue. If you're going to win in life and win in your marriage and really achieve all that God's got for you in this life, you're going to have to watch your mouth. You've got to make sure that the words you speak and you are speaking line up with the Word of God. The tongue, this is from Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Think about that now. The tongue has the power of life and death. Words are one of the most powerful, powerful things that you could ever try to tackle even yourself. Your words and the action of your tongue may seem hard to tame or hard to tackle. But words, we read from the Word, are like the rudder of a mighty ship. James 3:4 says this. Behold, the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. And we've got here's a picture of one right there. Big boat, but just a small rudder, a little thing. I remember growing up in Florida, going down the rivers, I used to canoe all the time, and it was easy to just use your oar as a little rudder in the back, and you could just easily turn that canoe however you wanted. But it's not all just canoes. There's bigger things, too. Here's a huge aircraft carrier. Holds 6,000 sailors at one time. It's amazing. Huge ship out in the ocean. And yet, you know, this thing still has a relatively small rudder compared to the size of the ship. And look, you can see the wake of the ship there. They can easily pilot and turn that huge ship wherever they want just by moving the rudder. Let's go back to that scripture and look at the next verse, verse 5. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. I may have told this in here before, but when I was a boy, young boy, I lived in Florida, and I lived in a trailer home at that time, and there were a couple other kids from the neighborhood, the little trailer park area that I grew up in, and we lived basically in the middle of a pine forest in Florida. And in the summertime, you know, that the pine needles, they cover the ground, and it's a thick bed of pine needles stacked up. It can be anywhere from 8 inches to a couple feet thick, just full of dry pine needles. And being the boys that we were, we went out into the dry pine forest to see if we could boil an egg in a mayonnaise jar. You can see where this is going. It did not turn out well. So we got a mayonnaise jar, and we put the egg in it, and we filled it to the top and put the lid on tight. So even if it had worked, we would have probably shattered the glass and had glass all stuck in us and everything else. But fortunately, it did not work because when we gathered the pine needles together to make the fire, we had no idea how fast fire would travel through dry pine needles, especially when they're 8 inches to a couple feet thick. Needless to say, once we did get it lit, the fire went everywhere. I lost a good treehouse that day as we burned down 27 acres of prime KOA campground. It was right next. We went into the KOA side, of course, to start our fire. It just missed a whole line of Winnebagos. the fire departments were all there and got it out just in time. But 27 acres burnt to the ground, including my beautiful treehouse that my dad helped me build. All because one flame started it, and it just took off. That was a bad day. So don't do that. Your words are containers that hold either life or death. Your words, they will take you to one place or the other. And listen to this. Your current life right now is a direct result of your past words. Where you are now was formed by the words you've already spoken. So I could say, along with Dr. Phil, how's that working out for you? Maybe good, maybe not so good. So just like that mighty ship is turned around, your tongue will determine so many things. It's strong. Your tongue determines the direction and the path that your marriage will take. If your ship has been going in the wrong directions for a while, it might take some time to turn it around. Some things don't happen overnight, but it will be worth the effort to get it done. Your words are strong. Your words are more powerful than you think they are. You can use your words to compliment, or you can use your words to complain. You can build someone up, or you can spend time backbiting somebody. You can use your words to bless, or you can just bicker. You can waste time. You can be a vision builder, or you can be a vision stealer. And you can do all this with your words. So if you want your life to go better, you have to guard your tongue. Put a guard over your mouth. You must watch what you say. Watch how you say it. Sometimes it's not just the words, but it's the attitude that comes with the words. We've got to stop being negative. And believe me, this is something that I'm working on myself. I'm not saying this because I've got my act together. I'm saying it because it's true. I can tell on myself. We've got to stop being so negative, and we've got to start being more positive. And I'm positive about that. Start saying things like, things are looking up for me. My finances are increasing every day, every day. One thing I like to say is, I'm loaded. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Psalm 68:19. I'm loaded. You say, how you doing? How's your financial situation, Tony? Oh, man, I'm loaded. I'm loaded because daily he loads me with benefits. I'm loaded. I'm loaded. How are things going for me? They're going great, but they're getting better all the time. You say, you're just being foolish with it. No. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. How's your marriage going? It's great. My wife is wonderful. Awesome. My marriage is strong. See, even just saying it, I can feel my marriage getting stronger. There's power in the words that we speak. We need to watch our words. Things are going to go well for you. You're going to own your own home. It's going to be paid off. You're going to own it. I don't mean you're owning. I mean you're going to own your home. Have the title deed. You're going to own your vehicles. Oh, and they're going to be nice vehicles, by the way. You're going to own your vehicles. You're going to have a savings account. See, for many of you here tonight, that might be a stretch right now. That's okay. Start stretching. You know, before our house was paid off, before our vehicle was paid off, before we had anything, we would say all the time, I am debt-free. I am mortgage-free. I have multiple streams of residual income. We would say those words out loud with our mouth. It would form our future. You know, that sentence is not as long for me anymore. My house is paid. It took time. It took effort. It took energy. But it also took words. It took believing. You're going to have a savings account. You're going to have extra money for when emergencies pop up. If something goes wrong, you have money that you can use for it because you are walking in abundance. You're going to make the right business decisions. You have favor with God and man. Hallelujah. You know, when you start talking positive like this, if you have been talking negatively so long, it can kind of just mess with you a little bit. When the pendulum is swung so far in one direction, then when it even starts to go in the other direction a little bit, it can kind of just mess with you. Like, is it okay to say that? Can I say that? I mean, is it like lying if I say that I'm loaded, that my house is paid for? No, it's not lying. It's saying words that are lined up with the Word of God. We're just so used to doing it the wrong way that when we start doing it the right way, it just kind of tilts us off. But there's a right way that's better. Your marriage is going to grow stronger and stronger. Your love together is going to grow stronger and stronger. You're going to love your spouse more this time next year than you do right now. I know you're thinking, how is that even possible, Tony? How is it even possible? It's very possible. You have enough to do everything that is in your heart to do. Did God call you to anything? Do you have any vision, anything that He's put inside you at all? Some great overwhelming desire of something you know is from God that I'm supposed to accomplish this. I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to write this. I'm supposed to build this. I'm supposed to do something. If you've got that inside, then start saying the words that line up with that. If God's put a business in your heart to start something or do something or increase something, start saying that. Say, I'm going to build that business. I'm going to start it. I'm going to do it. God's going to help me. God's going to supply the money. I'm going to go get the permit. I'm going to go get the thing and start doing something. Maybe you've got a business idea. I don't know why I'm on business, but maybe God's talking to somebody. If you're trying to start a business, take a first step. Go down and get a DBA, a doing business as. Go down and get a business name. Go ahead and secure the website. Those are things that don't even cost hardly anything. You can go get a permit for something. You can get a URL. You can get something on the web. You can find a way to do this. You can do something that leads you in the direction of the thing God's put in your heart to do. You want your marriage to be stronger? Then use one of the tools in your tool belt right there and start saying, it's hard to believe how great my marriage is. I mean, say it even in the middle of when it's not feeling like it's so great. Just say it anyway. Just say it. Just say it. You have enough to do everything that's in your heart to do. God did not make a mistake when He made you. He did not mislead you when He called you to do that thing. To write that book, to start that business, to go higher. He didn't mislead you. He's not a tricky God where He shows you something and then pulls it back right before you get there. I was just teasing. You'll never get there now. That's not God. If God put something in your heart, go after it. He didn't make a mistake when He put you and your spouse together either. And if you've been married before, guess what? The one you are married to right now is your spouse. The one you're married to right now is your spouse. So take him by the hand and do the thing that God's put in your heart to do. Go tackle it. God's given you firepower together. Together you're a mighty team. You're a married mighty team, and you can do great things for God. If you'll just cooperate with God and pay attention to what He's doing and continue to love your spouse, there's really not anything that you can't do. You say, well, that vision, that thing is much, much bigger than me. Welcome to the club. God doesn't ask you to just do stuff that you can just do with what you've already got. Sometimes He says, I want you to stretch. Sometimes He says, I'm going to give you something to where when you get to it, everybody's going to know it was God that did that. There's no way that could have been done by yourself. That took God. That took God. And guess what? God gets glory from that. God's happy when you can't do it on your own. If you would just get out of the mully grubs and start agreeing with God and be just as happy as He is for that thing to come to pass, guess what? It's going to happen even faster. Let me say this too. If you're constantly struggling with finances and problems in your life and in your marriage, you've got to take action at some point and do something about it. You cannot point the finger of blame at situations, at other family members, the way this happened or what happened on your job and this, that, and the other, you know, let me just tell you, whether you go up or down, succeed or fail, have plenty or not, has absolutely nothing to do with how well your job is paying you or how things are going or the situation with your family or your kid or your this or that. Nothing to do with that. God can operate completely independently and provide for you completely independently of any problem that you've got in your life. He's not relying on your job and your salary to get you all that you've got to get done what he's put in your heart to do. He's not relying on it. Think bigger than that and just start saying it. Just open your mouth and start saying it. That thing God put in there, I can do that. Do I know how? Not exactly, but if God put it in there, I can do it. He and I are going to do this together. One of the tools that God has given you is also one of the most unusual tools that you have in your arsenal, and it is your tongue. It's your mouth. It's your ability to verbalize things. I cannot tell you how many born-again, spirit-filled, Bible-toting Christians I know that pray, they believe, they hope, they endure, but they will not open their mouth and say anything. Won't do it. Well, I'm believing God, brother. Awesome. Are you saying anything? Well, I just hope God's going to come through for me. In fact, I know he's going to come through for me. That's great. Are you saying anything? Well, do you see how thick my Bible is? This is a heavy one. I speak in tongues. Awesome. Are you saying anything besides tongues? Are you agreeing with God? Are you doing anything? Sometimes they always seem to pray those silent prayers. They never have anything necessarily good to say about themselves or their family. It's not that they always run around talking negatively. It's just that they just don't say much at all. They're just kind of quiet. You can be quiet, but there's a time when you have to open your mouth and say something that's in agreement with God's word. I'm only telling you this because we used three scriptures in the beginning of this message that talked exactly about the power of your tongue, about life and death. You have the right to remain silent, but it may not get you anywhere. You do have the right. You don't have to say anything, but you'll be better off if you do. One thing to clearly understand about opening your mouth and saying things is that it does not have to be based on how you actually feel. Man, that is so important. It's not based on the circumstances that surround you. It's based solely on your belief that God's word is true. Is God's word true? Does he have good things to say about you? Then you say them too. Let's go a little further. Mark 11, 23 and 24. Let's see how they're actually working. Let's read them now. Here's Mark 11. For verily I say unto you, the verily means, you know what that means? That means it's King James. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he, what? Saith. Next verse, 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. There's a lot of saying going on there. And one of the most important set of scriptures in the entire Bible. It's a lot of saying going on. Speak blessings, not curses. Impart hope. Impart hope to your spouse. Charlie Pryor says this, never yell at your wife unless your house is on fire. That's a good word. Simple word, good word. Your wife is a delicate, petite flower. Ladies, build up your man and encourage him. The chances are that he's doing far more for you behind the scenes than you may ever imagine. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And let me also clip this limb while we're clipping. Don't let people just say anything about you or your marriage and just go unchecked. Don't allow junk in. Don't allow people to speak negative things about your spouse. Now, I'm not saying here that you have to start a new battle on every front and confront everybody and slam them to the ground and show them who's boss and all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying that. Hey, you can have a little more faith and trust in God than that. No weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises in judgment against you will be shown to be in the wrong. You don't have to run around trying to fix everything with your great confession. That's not the point. If your spiritual flag is even at half mast here, it's not too hard to see that there's usually a nice, loving way to handle a situation and get the conversation back on track with a subtle correction. You don't have to start a fight over everything that's said, but you also don't have to just let somebody run over you. You don't have to let somebody run over you and just, here, let me unload my dump truck full of negativity into your brain. You don't have to take that. Worst case scenario, you can just turn around and walk away. You don't have to fight, but you don't have to listen to that either. And you can reject everything that somebody sends your way. Words are containers. Each word you speak is filled with something. And words can be filled with hate and fear. They can be filled with doubt and unbelief and all kinds of evil stuff. Or words can be filled with love and with faith. They can bring peace and joy and happiness and blessing and all kinds of good things. Words can either curse or they can bless. It's kind of like money. You know, money is a tool. Money can be used to support the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, or it can be used to purchase heroin. It's just a tool. It's a means to get you one way or the other. Words are kind of like that. Words will take you places. They'll take you to a good place or a bad place. They'll take your marriage to a happier place or a desolate place. They're containers. Words can discourage or they can encourage. Words can wound or they can make whole. Words can absolutely destroy somebody or they can bring life to a dead situation. It's up to you. Words have power. Words stay with us a long time. You know, if you thought just a second, you could probably recall some negative thing that maybe your parents even told you when you were a youngster. You can recall, you can immediately just go back there in your mind and have instant recall of what was said. And that word will also bring you right to the place. You can even still see the room. You can see what furniture was in the room. You know right where it was and what happened. A negative thing that happened, something that was said to you, something terrible, like, you know, you'll never make it, you'll never amount to anything, or whatever it might have been. It's amazing how those words retain that with you. They stay with you a long, long time, and it's so important that we understand that, because guess what? You're still talking. The same thing is going to happen years from now to the people that you speak to. What are you saying? What's your spouse going to think about you 10 years from now, 5 years from now? Will they recall the negativity, some terrible thing you said? Or will you be speaking words of life that build them up and encourage them? The words that you hear in the morning can cause you to have a successful day, or they can cause you to go through the day robbed of joy and robbed of energy. So when your spouse is going out the door, or maybe you both leave at the same time or different times, whatever it is, you know, let the last words that you say to them be an encouraging something. They might need it later in the day. Do we really realize that the last words that our spouse and our children hear us say in the morning can affect them the rest of the day? See, if we really gave a true importance to how powerful words were, we would understand that better. Do we really realize that the words are filled with love and compassion, that they'll give our children confidence, they'll give our spouse confidence, and enable them to win what they face that day, because they're going to face stuff in life? Do we really realize that tender, loving words spoken to a spouse in the morning will send them through the day with a smile on their face rather than a frown? give them the extra encouragement that they need to get over the hump of the day? Because it might be all they have to go on. It might be all they have to go on. They're not going to get the encouraging word from the negative people at work. They're not going to get the encouraging word from the people on the highway that are showing them the finger. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. We need to really not gloss over that verse. I mean, it's one that, you know, most people, if you've been around church a while, you probably know that verse. That's great. Just don't get so familiar with it that you bypass it and say, okay, we know that one. Wait a second, do we know that one? When you think on the kind of things mentioned in this verse, you'll end up speaking those kind of things. Our confession is a declaration of what we believe, what we really believe. Andrew Womack says that you will do what you really believe. All the rest is just religious talk. The words of our mouth reveal what we've been thinking and believing in our heart. Ouch. Even for me, ouch. The words of our mouth reveal what we've been thinking and believing in our heart. Right thinking produces right believing, and right believing produces right confessing. On the other hand, wrong thinking produces wrong believing, and wrong believing produces wrong confessions, wrong words. Your confession determines the results in your life. You will eventually have what you say. So watch your mouth. You will eventually have what you say. Couples can show affirmation through words. They can show it through their actions. It's as simple sometimes as just those three words, I love you. You're my best friend. I like being with you. You're good at that. You did a good job. You look nice today. Those kind of things. Affirmative behaviors can be anything from turning on the coffee pot in the morning for your spouse to taking the time to fill their tank up with gas. Do something. There's an action that you can take that shows your spouse that you love them, that you care about them. But it's not just the action. You also need to couple it with the words. You really do look nice today. You know, I've seen other people do that, but you do it the best. You're really good at that. You're good at organizing, or you're good at doing that, or you paint well, or you something. There's something that you can find. You shouldn't have to look that hard. You've got a wonderful spouse. You really, really do. The key is to give consistent affirmation rather than heaps of it all at once. This is a key. So now, if you're the kind of person that, we'll just take the guys, for example, since it's Valentine's time. If February the 14th is like the one time a year that you'd pile it on, and the next thing you know, they have a crate load of chocolate and flowers, and this is a note. Now take note. This is very important. If all of a sudden, you know, there's a bulldozer or some box truck backing up with all the stuff for that day, and then they don't hear from you the rest of the year, you know, some things are probably out of balance. The key is consistent affirmation. Are you going to get it perfectly right all the time? No, you'll probably mess up once in a while. But you should give it a good college try. I remember reading about a minister one time that was in conversation with the Lord. He was praying, having this conversation, and he questioned God as to why people weren't doing better with their confessions. And the Lord quickly answered him and said this, I have told my people that they can have what they say, but instead, they keep saying what they have. Oh, this old junker car. It's all I got. But at least, hey, it's getting me from point A to point B. I can't complain. Well, you just did complain. well, this house is falling apart. I don't really know where we're going to go from here, but thank God we have a roof over our head. I don't know how we're going to pay these bills. Seems like we get here this time every year and nothing happens. There's just not enough here. I'm just so frustrated. I try and try and try. I work so hard and there's never enough money. You're saying these words, there's never enough money. I'm saying the words, there's never enough money. It always seems like my bills are so high and my income is so low. Every time I try to be nice to my spouse, she always has something negative to say. You're saying these words. Stop it. How about, I have a lot of bills. Fortunately, I'm loaded, so I can pay them all. This house is a roof over my head, but a better one's coming that's going to be paid for. Things are getting much, much better for me. We're going to have more rooms, and they're all going to be paid for. This car is getting me from point A to point B, but it's certainly not where I'm going to end up. My better car is coming. You don't have to say negative things all the time. You can speak positive words. Your words are so, so very important. What do you say? What do you actually open your mouth and say? I love you. You're so pretty. You do that well. You're sure good with the kids or the grandkids, or you're wise. I can always come to you and get a good answer. You have a balanced decision about you. I can always come to you and you help me figure things out. I can count on you. You mean so much to me, and on and on. It's time to tame your tongue.